Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Nutrition Lab call. I was going to say it's the first call of 2021, but because we've been doing the elimination diet, it's probably the seventh or eighth call of 2021 so far. But this is our official Nutrition Lab call, and you're welcome to get support in whatever you need support in, whether you are going through the elimination diet with us, whether you have questions about other things related to nutrition. This is the place to ask them. So I see that Lisa is here. Lisa is one of our top coaches in the team. And some of you have worked with her directly. Some of you are working with her in ERC, and she's amazing. And we're going to, you know, some of these calls I'll lead, some of them Lisa will lead, some of them Annette will lead. Just depends on our schedules. And given I've already done six calls this month already, sometimes I run out of time. So anyway, but she's amazing. I mean, she has had 20 years of experience in nutrition. She's studied nutrigenomics. She calls herself the detective who knows how to dig in, and she gets a lot of the really tough cases and challenging people who have tried everything, and then suddenly she can help them figure it out. So we're so lucky and able to have her on our team, and she's one of our certified coaches. So thank you, Lisa, for being here.
Oh, thank you for that lovely introduction.
Yeah. So she's going to be here, and I may refer to her and say, hey, Lisa, can you answer that or whatever as we go through this call. So the way these calls work is that if you have a question, if you have a concern, if you need support in a certain area related to your nutrition, we're here to support you. And what I would request, and I love to hear, is when you introduce yourself and say, hey, I'm Judy and I have a question, that you give me a little like success that you've had. Because when we focus on our problems, we get more problems. When we focus on our successes, guess what? We get more successes. And every day, just even if your success is, I woke up today and there were no roofs, no, it was raining outside and my roof did not have any holes in it, so I stayed dry. That can be your success. And we always want to look at life in terms of successes. What can we do better and better and better? So with that said, the best way to ask questions is to click on where it says participants. And at the very bottom, there's a place where you can click raise hand. That will raise your hand graphically. And that way I can keep track of who has their hands raised. You can do it this way if you can't figure that out, but I can lose track and I may get you in a different order than the order that you asked requested. So who wants to start? Who has a question, a comment, or just wants to start with a success? Jumping into the new year, we have new promise. You know, it's interesting how we go from one day to the next. Like I went from today's Thursday, tomorrow's Friday, and there's no milestone. There's nothing like psychologically compelling about Friday, except it's the last day of the week. For some of you, work all week and then you have a weekend ahead of you. But when we go from December 31st to January 1, it's like internally we go, oh, we have a whole new beginning. You know what I mean? So this is a new beginning. This is a new year. And what is it that you're looking to accomplish with this? So who wants to start? I know some people say, I don't want to be the first. And then once one person raises their hand and starts talking, then there's a flood of you. So, and please, please, please don't wait till the last 5 minutes, because I do have a commitment right after and I'll have to cut you off. So ask your questions earlier so that we can really deeply explore. So let's start with Grace. Hi, Grace.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
So I guess my success is just that I have stayed recovered from a life-threatening incurable autoimmune disease. And that was, I was diagnosed in December of 2012.
Wow.
And I really can't take any credit for it, even though I went gluten-free, dairy-free. I did everything to get rid of any inflammation that was being produced. You know, I went actually nightshade-free too. But a year and a month later, on January 29 of 2014, I woke up in my bed and I knew I was healed. So that was a divine thing that I can't take any credit for. But
wow, it is. You just like woke up and you said, oh my God, I'm healed?
I knew it. I knew that I had been healed, and all my numbers show it, and I've stayed healed ever since. So
first of all, you bring tears to my eyes when I hear stuff like that. The miracle of your body, right? So congratulations.
Thank you. Well, I went from a very debilitated, I couldn't lift a gallon of water. It was really, I was really debilitated. Wow. So it truly is a miracle. And my question is, I've been on NP thyroid, and the reason that I'm on NP thyroid 30 milligrams, all the rest of my numbers are great. And I don't have any symptoms, but I have a conversion problem from T3 to T4. And I heard you one time mention that. And I thought this when I was editing, I thought about this when I was editing for you, but I have no idea where it is in all those hundreds of hours of stuff. So can you elaborate on that? I think you said how you get rid of this is you do thus and so, but I didn't think of it at that time.
So it's T4 to T3. Your body makes T4, and then the active form is T3. Much smaller amounts, because you'd be like, if you made a lot of T3, right? So the body controls how much the conversion is. What's that?
I had it backwards.
Yeah, that's fine. Most people do. Most doctors do. I remember, you know, people tell their doctors and go, no, T4 gets converted. No, it's the other way around. No, they're wrong. So it's T4 to T3.
Okay. And
it's basically you take off one iodine. This is the miracle of the human body. I just want to point this out. T4 is the same as T3, except T4 has four iodines and T3 has three. And there's an enzyme that takes away that thing. It's called the deiodinase enzyme, for those of you who like to geek out on that stuff. And that deiodinase enzyme is very dependent on a good functioning in the body, right? So if you've got low cortisol or high cortisol, it can impact that conversion. If you are low in certain nutrients, selenium, any magnesium, iodine, other nutrients, you can't do the conversion.
Okay.
Right? So if you're not making that conversion, and there's a specific ratio they should be in, right? So if your T3 is at, let's just say free T3 is at 3, but your free T4 is at 2, which is very high for T4, and 3 is barely borderline, that doesn't look like a problem, but it really is, because the ratios are off, right? Mm-hmm. So we're looking at keeping those ratios together. So some of the things that you can do, you want to look at your adrenals. You want to see if your adrenals are, you know, kind of out of balance, whether the cortisols are too high or too low, or if there's particular times of day when the cortisols are too high or too low, can impact that. You want to look at your nutrients. So one of the things we always say is, okay, selenium's a biggie. So eat Brazil nuts, take some selenium and see if that does it. But it's more complicated than that. Right? Uh-huh. It's all of those factors.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm going to see if Lisa has anything more to add from her years of experience and brilliance with that in terms of that conversion.
Well, you hit all the highlights. I mean, stress has cortisol has a big part in this.
Yes.
Too little cortisol is not good. Doesn't help the conversion, and too much will block the conversion. And then it's nutrient dependent.
Yeah.
So selenium is the big one.
It's the big one, but it can affect magnesium levels and iodine. There's a lot of things that can affect it as well, but selenium is the biggie, right? In that conversion. Right. So looking at your diet, looking at, you know, you can find selenium charts anywhere. And if you're getting enough selenium in your diet, and then it could be an absorption issue. It could be a low stomach acid issue, because you need good stomach acid to absorb your minerals. Right. So it's looking at that. And some people just like take Brazil nuts or take, you know, a couple of hundred micrograms of it, of selenium, and they have no problem anymore, but it's sometimes more complicated than that. The other issue, if it's obvious that you have a conversion issue, the other thing I want to point out to anybody who's doing thyroid is that you may have a receptor issue. The receptors are on every cell for the thyroid, and the body needs to go, okay, this is health. Oh, there's my thyroid. Let me grab it. There's my thyroid. Let me grab it. Mm-hmm. If those receptors are damaged in any way and they're under functioning, then you're going to look like you have perfect numbers And you really don't, because the thyroid hormone isn't getting into the cells. So looking at that, vitamin A is super important for that. High levels of homocysteine can damage those receptors and can make those receptors not work well. Homocysteine is usually caused by a deficiency of either B6, B12, folate, or all three. So those are some of the things to look at.
Okay, good. I've never, even when I was sick and my CRP was out the window and my cortisol was 2, I never had any high homocysteine.
Good.
All okay. Those numbers, all the cortisol, that's all resolved itself and everything. But I'll look at the selenium. Mm-hmm. I want to get off my pig pills. So
I can't really, you know, within my scope of practice here, you know, make suggestions. You got to work with your doctor whenever you're on medication.
Sure.
There are some supplementation like thyroid support formulations that could be helpful. One is from Restorative Formulations and it's called ThyroCare. They have another one called Thyroid PX, but it's high in iodine. So I like the ThyroCare a little bit better. And then you can add extra iodine if you need it.
Okay.
And then Meridian Valley Labs, it's the Tahoma Clinic Dispensary, Jonathan writes. He has a thyroid combination formula, but it is from animal. It does have animal source. The restorative is completely plant-based. It's just herbs. Mm-hmm. Ashwagandha is one. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of them that helps with conversion. And if I review my notes, I'm going to be teaching it later in the, there was another herb. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that that helped with the conversion. And I'll present that in our herbal class later.
Okay.
Zinc also helps with the conversion.
Zinc. Absolutely. Yeah. Zinc helps with the conversion as well.
Okay. Well,
and stomach acid, you do have to make sure you have good stomach acid or you can't get the zinc and the selenium.
So this part has changed because it used to be that I was below the line as far as the conversion. And now I'm right at the borderline.
Oh, well, that's huge. That's big.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I want to keep going.
So if you're really committed that you want to get off of the thyroid, you're going to have to find a doctor who's
right.
Like supports you there and says, okay, let's lower this amount. Let's increase this, you know, and they'll be willing to work with you, right? That's not something we can do here, but if you can find a doctor who's willing to work with you on like, okay, let's just gradually, you do not want to stop thyroid medication, like
no.
Abruptly, it's not a good idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Yeah. Thank you. Great case. Thanks. Okay, next is Jenny. Lower hand. I have Jenny and then who else is there? Janet and Yenny. So Jenny and Yenny. There we go.
Hi.
Hi.
My wins are about 3 times over the weekend. I automatically used heart math without thinking a whole lot about it.
Good for you.
Under stress, yeah, it was great. I really felt like it's sinking in. It's taken a while, but it's sinking in. And another win is that I just continue to get better organized in my head about everything, and it just feels so much better. All of it just feels so much better. I feel like there's more of a clear path. There's more motivation. It's yeah. Just really helping. So, that too. I had 2 questions. The first question is on the website, is there a single place to go to that you would recommend where all of the blood tests and not the blood tests so much as the markers for things like inflammation and what we want to mm-hmm. kind of keep track of? Is there a single place that there is to go see all of that? Or is it
actually a couple? So I'll tell you what the couple are. One is the Master Health Tracker has them all listed. Right. So everything's in there and off to the right hand side. And not everybody has access to the Master Tracker. She's in ERC, so she does. But the Master Tracker off to the right hand side, there's a little explanation for all of those. There's also a book, and it's on not on the Nutrition Lab per se. It's on the Empowered Self-Care, which you have access to as part of ERC. And if you go down to where it says Discover Your Imbalances, there's a thing that says Learn About Lab Testing.
Okay.
And that's like a 7-page document that I put together that explains all those markers.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. My other question is, can you speak to the idea of preventative? Okay, I have mushroom powders, elixirs, all of those kind of adaptogenic things. And it occurs to me that I want to use them preventatively. Like at this point, I can't say that I have a huge health issue that I need to address, but at the same time, there's little ones all over the place. And is there I guess the wrong use of the word would be formula, but aside from body tests, sway testing, is there a recommendation that you would have for if you just want general balance, general good health, the frequency that you would use something like adaptogenic herbs?
Yeah, so you're talking like in terms of making elixirs and using the mushrooms and some of the more nutritive type herbs versus like, you know, poke root, which has a very strong effect that you wouldn't use unless you actually had a problem. In terms of the amount, I think it's a lot of it's you and intuition and what you need, but we do have a booklet that you all have access to, and it's the elixirs booklet, elixirs and teas, I think it's called. And there's a beautiful chart in there that goes, you know, adrenals and immune system and thyroid. And it has some of the herbs that are in there that you can, you know, use to support that. And so, you know, it's like you go through your life and your son has been home and he's been sniffling, right? You're going, okay, I'm going to go for some immune support now. You missed a couple of nights of sleep and you didn't quite get as good a sleep and you're tired. Okay, I need some support for my adrenals, or I need some energizing support. So you kind of, it's really like we are the labs, right? That's why we call these the lab things, because it's like tuning in to what does your body need and how often do I do it? I do those elixirs. I mean, I go in the kitchen and I literally go, I just get drawn to a certain thing. It's like, I really need some cordyceps today, or I really need, you know, I feel like ashwagandha might be good. And I do the sway testing, you know, it's kind of woo-woo, but I do it because I combine science and woo and I get good results. So I go there and I say, what do I need? You know, my son was here, my son came to visit and he works in a supermarket. So it's like, we try to keep our distance, but I don't know who he's been exposed to or what. And then he came over sick. He had a COVID test. He didn't have COVID, but he came over for mama to take care of him. And he had a sore throat and all this. And I'm trying to look down his throat. He can't keep a distance very well. You know, I'm looking down his throat and seeing it's red and seeing that the stuff, and you know, it's my kid. I got to take care of him. So I'm like, I'm giving him the immune support and I'm giving mama the immune support, right? Because I'm exposed here. So you just kind of make your way through life. And it's all about like tuning into your body and what it needs, right? If you're tired, what can I do? And you gotta be careful with energizing adaptogens. I was just reading about this last night. We're gonna talk about it during today's herbal class, is that the adaptogens can go against you because it can give you a false sense of energy, and you're not resting, you're not, you know, you don't take care of yourself. It's kind of like when somebody injures themselves, right? They have a back pain, they hurt their back, and then they take ibuprofen, they don't notice that they have a back pain, and then they really injure themselves. You know what I mean? So you've got to just make sure you're not masking. Sometimes we need to mask the symptoms because we have to get through the day. Right? You do have a sick kid, or you have an obligation, you're a nurse and you have to go to work, whatever. You do have to sometimes have things to push through. But the beauty of the adaptogenic herbs and the mushrooms is that they nourish. They don't beat you up like caffeine, right? Boom, let's beat a dead horse. And literally it's recycling the cortisol through your cells, and then your cells get tired, right? So those are, I hope that helps. I mean, I don't have a formula. I wish I had a formula for health that everybody, you know, we can tap into, but well, I mean, we have a formula for health, but we don't have it that precise.
Yeah. I think I'm struggling against the whole idea of a regime, you know, that I want to be able to stick to on a daily basis, and somehow it's going to cover any issues that might be cropping up, but you know, yeah, you're right.
Having your good nutrition and you're covering all your bases nutritionally, type it into Chronometer, make sure that you're covering, at least covering your bases that way. But then there's this art to it. There's a science and then there's an art to it as well. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything you want to add? I'm always going to turn to Lisa because she is such great. If you have anything you want to add to that, feel free. Just pop in anytime.
Yeah. I mean, I think I agree with what you're saying. And when people do their genetics, we can figure out, you know, what are the supplements you need for your current state of health? What are things you need for, and what are things you need sort of on a longer term basis? And supplements are not forever, actually, I think.
My goal is to make them be, you know, as short term as they need to be.
Yeah. And that's what people forget. You know, they stay on supplements for really too long or at high dose. We're talking about selenium before. Yeah. And the number of people have done blood tests with high selenium, I mean, above the lab range, is kind of freaky. So we can do a lot of harm.
Right.
But yeah, like there's some basic ones, like for me, magnesium, vitamin C. Just depends what you're trying to improve.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's good to keep that in mind because I don't enjoy taking supplements. And sometimes I feel like, you know, but until you test, until I finally do that, how do I know? So, yeah.
And then the other thing is, and this is a good point, and then we'll move on to the next person, but it's tuning in. I want to make as much of your supplements food, right? So really nourishing foods that are going to upregulate. And so you think about that every day. You go, okay, for me, Cordyceps, probably because I push myself too hard and don't get it. I was like, it's my energizer endurance one. But there are specific herbs that I tend to gravitate towards. Ashwagandha, not so much. You know, it's as much as it's a good, I just don't gravitate towards it. But there are other things that I do gravitate towards. And so it's just like trusting that and making it like you wouldn't eat the same food every day. You wouldn't tell me, I want the formula for the best diet and I'm going to follow that exact same thing every day. No, you tune in and you are very good at that because I remember you saying on another call was that like all of a sudden you're like salads up the wazoo and suddenly it's like, I can't eat another salad, right? You're tuning into your body. It needs warmth right now or it needs something else right now. Okay, great. Good job. All right, so next would be Janet. Okay, let me lower Jenny's hand. Janet and then Yenny. So okay. Janet, where are you?
So I know you talked to Grace about thyroid, so you don't have to repeat all of that. So I'm going to ask you a general overall question, then I'll tell you why. So if you're looking at TSH and you're saying, okay, that my number is 5.63. I know. And the T3 is 3.7 and the T4 is 1.66. And the ratio for the reverse T3 is 24. So it's over the 20. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at the big picture. And I'm saying, okay, I know lipoprotein A is 163. And I know that my homocysteine is 7.9. I know what ferritin's 135, it was 177. And I know the TSH in 2016 was always below 2. In 2017, it was 3. 18, it went to 5.5. 19, it went to 2.45. And then 20 back to 5.63. So the question overall is, are we looking at more than just thyroid, but maybe gut inflammation? And I'm not on any meds. I have resisted that. But am I at a point where the blood sugar A1C is 6. Yeah. And so I'm wondering if it's an overall body inflammation. I'm looking at your thyroid stuff and I'm looking at where, you know, what I'm doing. And yes, I do get cold. The temperature for a very long time has been between 95 in the morning to 97 during the day for probably since 2012. So I'm wondering, is it time? And I heard Grace talking about wanting to get off. And I'm wondering, is it time I get on? Or is it time that I look at something? Or do I just need to work your program?
Okay, good question. Really good question. First of all, you didn't mention anything about antibodies.
Oh, TPO at one time was 9, but then it was lower than that. But there was a time when TPO was 9. That's the highest it's been. And the ANA has been nothing. I mean, it's been low.
Antithyroglobulin?
Yes, that was low.
That was low. Okay, so there's no, and you've had them measured on multiple times?
Yeah, but that TPO being 9, I wondered if that made me Hashimoto's because it went over 2.
Yeah.
Now I'm gluten-free and have been gluten-free for years.
Okay, so the A1C needs to be addressed. It's a 6. Right?
You and it was 7.5, so it's down to 6.
Great. So you're moving in the right direction. It's really hard to get the thyroid balanced when the blood sugar is out of balance. It just doesn't, and it affects it. There's other things that affect the T3. I mean, that affect the TSH, because your numbers look fine. Your T3 and your T4 numbers, your reverse, you know, all that stuff looks fine, but you have this LPA that's high.
That's my biggest concern, is that LPA. It was 125 last year and it's gone to 163. And I was taking L-carnitine, but I understand you got to be careful because L-carnitine may raise TMAO. And that's a concern about raising TMAO. And I didn't know where to pursue how to find more information on lowering the LPA, which my father unfortunately did pass this year. And he did have a heart valve replacement. And there is heart attack stroke in my family. Yeah. And my small dense particles were 384.
And remind me the range.
584 or less is conventional. Probably less than 200 is functional.
Okay. So first of all, I'm going to congratulate you on being so well educated and really, really understanding all this stuff. So that's really important. And I think we're empowered to take steps. LPA is very hard to lower. It goes up easily, but it's hard to lower if you have a genetic history, which it sounds like you do, right? Yes. But sometimes it's like you have to get it as low as you can get it and then get everything else around it to be balanced. I think you need to focus on that A1C. If you've already got it down from 7.5, you've got to get that down closer to 5. That affects your cardiovascular system. So even if you have perfect cardiovascular numbers, and you've got elevations of A1C, you are at much higher risk of heart disease. The independent risk factor for dropping dead suddenly of a heart attack is insulin resistance and blood sugar imbalance. So it's independent. So that has to be addressed because it's so critical here. Do you know what your blood pressure is? Is your blood pressure okay?
It usually runs 120 over 72.
Okay, and then what's your typical fasting glucose?
It used to be over 100. Now I've got it down to about 90 and I may go to 88, but I got to go back. You know, I took your professional program, so I just need to go back to measuring. And I know I'm very sensitive to a lot of things. And I started, I got to go back and
it
really
gets sneaky, right? It gets sneaky.
Yeah. And I did my genes and I am a great risk of diabetes and it's all in my dad's family.
Okay. So here's the thing with this, and this is the thing you have to understand. I'm in that same boat, right? You've got to be careful with this. You can't just say, my sugar goes up, it goes to 150, it goes to 170, because every time it does, it's damaging the system, right? And that insulin levels, do you know what your fasting insulin is?
Yeah, it's about 90, but I did do the glucose tolerance
test. Wait, your fasting insulin?
It's five. My fasting insulin was 3.5, so they did a glucose test because they were concerned that it was low.
It was too low.
And then it went up to 6.95, and it's now 5. When I did the glucose test, the third hour, I bottomed out at 45. So I have to be careful with the fluctuating hypoglycemia. And when I recently was working on blood sugar, I got the vision out of focus. And I did Dr. Krizian's class, but I got to go back and look at it. So I have to balance the hypoglycemic drops.
Right. And hypoglycemic drops are usually that it's high levels of insulin. So you might want to do a postprandial. You said you did a glucose tolerance test?
Yes.
And how did they measure it throughout the period? Like a 5-hour glucose tolerance test?
It was a 3-hour.
3-hour? Did they measure it throughout?
Yes, they did.
And what was the peak insulin?
The pink insulin, oh gosh, you're asking me, I got to go look here.
But those are important questions because if your peak insulin, if your postprandial is going high, like you can have perfect fasting insulin, but then your postprandial is super high, which means you're going to get those hypoglycemic lows.
Yeah, I'm looking real quick to see, so I don't take up your time, to see if I can find that really okay. Here. Here it is. Okay. So let me pull that up. It says, all right, here it is. Okay. The first hour I was 93. And then
insulin, give me insulin. Did they measure insulin? Because usually they do glucose insulin tolerance tests.
Okay. So the first hour of insulin was 6.4. The second was 52.8. The third was 36.8. And the fourth was 7.6.
This is why you're having hypoglycemic attacks. Your insulin is going way too high.
Okay.
Okay. Now that was in response to sugar syrup, right?
Which that led to the sugar syrup.
Having on a regular basis. But I think I would, if I were you, I'm not you, but I still do it. I would get a continuous glucose meter, right? So you can really keep track. I would go back on the 30-day metabolic reset. Okay. And you've got to not go into the poor me. I'm not saying you do, but I hear from a lot of people, poor me, I'm so deprived, I can't even eat right rice and my sugar goes up. Like, you got to get over it, right? I ate a few chestnuts and my sugar went to 152. Well, I'm not going to do that anymore. Right. I can keep my blood sugar perfectly balanced between, you know, 70s and 90s infinitely if I don't indulge in those extra things. So you have to really control this because of the cardiac risk.
Okay.
Right. And that's why my incentive is, I don't have old people in my family. They dropped dead of heart attacks before they even knew they had heart disease.
Okay.
So yeah, I would get that under control. There's other things in our program, our NEPT program, as you're a practitioner, we have an advanced cardiac, you know, we have a whole cardiac module and we have a whole bunch of stuff.
I'll look at that. I didn't realize that was in there. I have the insulin in the gut, but I'll go.
Yeah, you have the insulin in the gut. Well, talk to somebody about upgrading into the full program because the full program is phenomenal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. So basically, I was worried about the thyroid, but at this point, concentrate on the blood sugar.
Yeah, and it may just take care of itself. Your functioning numbers are okay, right? You don't have antibodies.
No.
And your TSH is creeping up, and that will happen with out of control glucose and insulin.
So glucose is the answer. Thank you.
And getting that insulin under control. You don't have any problem with not making enough insulin. You make too much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is Annette here? Because Annette is.
I'm here.
There you are. Do you have anything to add to that? But she can have a conversation with you also.
Yeah. And Janet and I've talked before.
We have.
So she knows how to reach me. When you were talking about postprandial and she has the A1C of 6 and yes, I get that it's coming down. For Samantha, she was having those unknown, unseen postprandial spikes. And that's what was sending her, keeping her A1C high. And once mom nudged enough, but that's not really the word I'd use. I'd use the one that starts with B. Once I complained enough and got her to do postprandial, she got to see what was happening. And that impacted her enough to make those changes to get the blood sugar and bring that A1C down.
Yeah.
So I absolutely agree with a continuous glucose monitor.
Yeah.
If you can get it.
Can I get it without a doctor prescription?
No, you need a doctor prescription. Oh, but there's this thing called Levels, and you can at least get your first month. It's a little expensive, but they give you a prescription for a whole year.
Okay.
Once you do that. So it's like $400, but you get a month's worth. So it's like, you know, triple what you'd normally pay for.
And how do I get that?
Go levels.com.
Levels.com. Okay. I currently only have an OBGYN. So levels.com.
Levels.com. And they will actually, you know, like they assign a doctor in every state or wherever you are. They get you to the pharmacy. And when I got mine, I just wanted to check it out to see if this is something reasonable for people who can't get their doctor to prescribe it. And I got it. And I'm like, ooh, this is gold. This is gold. This is like a year of refills. Right. I don't know how much the lab is going to charge for the refills. I know that if you go continue on the Levels program, they charge $200 a month, which is like, you know, maybe 30% more than you would pay if you just had the on your own. But
the brand you would recommend the brand?
Oh, the Freestyle Libre is the other ones are too high. They're, you know, that's really hard to get. You'd have to have a doctor to prescribe the Dexcom.
Yeah. And Janet, I don't wear my Libre all the time. Like I wear it for 2 weeks. I watch the trends. I learn. I go, ooh, I shouldn't have had that. And then I go and I spend 3-4 weeks without it. Excuse me. So that I can change my behavior, change my food. And then I wear it again.
Yeah. To make sure.
See if what I did made the change I was hoping for. That saves on some money too.
That saves money. You have to be more. I find myself, I'm not as disciplined when I'm not wearing it.
Well, thank you, Dr. Rita. And thank you, Annette, as always. I thank you both of you. Thank you.
Fantastic. Yeah. So we have
Nice talking next, to you, Janet.
And then Sarah. Yeah, great, Janet. Thank you. And, you know, congratulations on being so well-educated. I think it's awesome. Okay, so Yenny.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
Hi. Where are you? Oh, there you are. Okay, great. Okay.
So I'm not as prepared as Janet or not as well.
Most people aren't. So let's just say she put a high bar. Don't worry about reaching that high bar.
Okay. Well, I'll do my best. So I was in your elimination diet call. I was also in the herbal call. Yep. Hello? Can you hear me?
I hear you. Yeah, I don't see you anymore.
So then for some reason, my camera is not on. But so... my question is that I did share at the elimination diet that I'm following Dr. Terry Wall's menu plan, right, level one right now. You know, I'm feeling okay. I think, you know, the autoimmune that I was diagnosed with 3 years ago is rheumatoid arthritis. So yesterday when you mentioned about nightshade, I remember now the conversation with my nutritionist that, about in 2019, we did remove all the gluten, dairy, and nightshades, but my condition was not better. And well, I think not because of the gluten, the dairy removal, but I think the nightshade actually was not, it's not hitting the point, you know, so it was a nightshade. Mm-hmm. At least that's what she thought. So, you
did
know,
you
after
off the paper long enough. Because with the nightshades, it's a good at least 2 weeks of being off of them.
Oh, I was off for 6 months, 9 months, all those gluten, dairy.
No cayenne pepper, no chipotle.
No.
Okay, because those are the sneaky ones that.
Yeah. Yes, and I was like, you know, tomatoes, it's so hard. It's everywhere, even a tiny bit. So anyway, so now that, you know, with Dr. Terry Wall's menu plan is, you know, it is pretty clean and, you know, all those clean stuff, you know, grass fed, you know, wild caught and all that meat and vegetables. I am okay to continue with that plan. But my question is that my recent blood work was showing a very high SSA-AB. It's an antibodies, SSA. It was really high and my SET rate is really high. So the inflammation SET rate has been in the 30s, you know, so that's not good. And the SSA was 240, which is very high. But then on the other side is that my sodium was so low, my potassium was so high, and I think the sodium potassium issue probably because when I did the liver detox last year around June, I continue with the green juices with celery and, you know, those stuff, you know. So I think I like that those juices. There's like 5 different juices that Isabel provided, you know, part of the detox. I just kind of keep drinking it, but then I stop like maybe around right before your wild, before your fasting event. Yeah, because that's when I get my blood work around October, late October, early November, and right. I stopped that. And the other thing that
and
from
that's
the
when
blood
that's
work,
when your sodium was low and your potassium was high.
Yes. And yes. Okay. So I think right now it is a little bit more stabilized. The sodium started to get up, you know, because I also reduce a lot of salt intake because my husband is trying to lower his blood sugar, blood pressure.
Right. And if you have any kind of adrenal dysfunction, dysregulation, and you restrict your sodium, that's not a good thing, right? Because you eliminate more. So you probably don't need to eliminate the sodium. But where is all that potassium coming from?
Don't know.
Yeah.
So my question today is about the SSA, the antibodies, and the set rate is really high. I also want to ask that all of these that we're looking at from blood work and from food and diet, I have a question about heavy metals. That's one aspect that I like to get some recommendation in terms of what do I look at. There's a lot of questions about that with heavy metals.
Yeah, so if you're suspicious of heavy metals because of some exposures that you do know about, I would recommend you get tested. So there's a number of, you can do a hair test, that's the most inexpensive, like $99, you can do a heavy metals hair test. There's the, what's the name of that company? Is it, there's one that has a mercury, Quicksilver has a mercury test that they do a blood and then there's a couple of different components to it. But I would say get tested if you're suspicious, but also look around and see what are your exposures. The first, you want to reduce your toxic load, any kind of detox, right? You always want to reduce your toxic load. So look around. Do you walk barefoot out on your deck outside? Arsenic can be building up there. Are you making sure that all the fish that you're eating is definitely not contaminated with mercury? There's a number of other things. Lead, like if you're taking collagen type things, bone broth could be heavily contaminated with lead. So look at your lifestyle and see where you can reduce heavy metal load. But I would get tested if you're suspicious of that, because that's going to contribute to autoimmune. Like if you're autoimmune, if you're being really good with your diet and you're healing your leaky gut, so leaky gut has to be healed, heavy metals have to be approached, mental, emotional stress needs to be addressed. There's a lot there, but there's obviously inflammation going on big time, and looking at your inflammation pathways, looking at your vitamin C and your quercetin and turmeric and ginger and other things like that.
Yeah. I'm taking 10 different supplements now from my functional medicine doctor. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, should be okay, I think, for now until we do another blood work and, you know, looking at that. Oh yeah, by the way, my vitamin D was low, so I'm taking a lot of vitamin D.
Yeah, and get that tested again quickly, because vitamin D impacts all of this. It impacts the membranes, it impacts everything. Yeah.
Right. So in terms of mental health, that's the other aspect. Anything that we do here from diet will help or will jeopardize? What's your suggestion?
Yeah, I can't actually make actual suggestions because I haven't done a full intake on you. So, but here's the deal. Your diet, your nutrient status affects your mental health big time. It affects your neurotransmitters. Something as simple as low stomach acid, which affects the uptake of minerals and of protein and the breakdown and the assimilation of amino acids, affects your brain chemistry, right? So there are tests you can do. If you're working with a functional medicine doctor, ask them about an organic acid test, which can look at all your nutrients, and a NutriVal test, which can look at everything. And that includes usually an organic acid test. And that's like
the
big, you know, $600 test. But I think that's a good one to get when you've got a lot of complexities like this.
Okay. Yeah. I think that might be the next one, because I'm working with a nutritionist also. She asked me to test on the betaine HCL. So I took that last week and did some testing, like how many, the betaine HCL for stomach acid. Yeah. So I'll ask about the organic acid test then.
And if you're not taking bitters with every meal, start taking bitters with every meal.
Like arugula?
It could be, but you're taking it 15 minutes before each meal. Are you in Empowered or are you in the nutrition lab? Which one?
Nutrition lab.
Okay. So I'm thinking if you go into, trying to think where we have that described, probably in the eating for digestive health section.
Okay.
And look at that. It talks about stomach acid and it talks about bitters in there. It should talk about bitters in there.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. All right. So Sarah and then CJ and then Sharon. So Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. The sun's out today.
Nice. Yay! That always makes the day good.
Solar powered. Okay. you did mention a lot about thyroid. That's pretty much what I wanted to talk about. And I'll try to be really quick. I did a gut repair program, and then the only problem I had with my thyroid after that was I had low T3. Mm-hmm. Well, then since COVID came, I'm not working. My husband is, so that's been good. It's just the change has been kind of stressful, not having people around. But I'm eating more sugar-free chocolate. And let's see, I'm trying to think. I'm just letting you know all the changes that have happened. So then I had my...
Is low T3 new, or is this something been a problem for a while?
My T4 and T3 had been low before, and then my TSH was higher, but that's became normalized. Most of all of them had been normalized, and then it was just the T3 conversion wasn't that great. And then lately I had been feeling tired again, so I had gone to a lab and retested, and my TSH, my free T3, T4 were all low. So my naturopath suggested for me to go back on thyrocomplex. It's like a glandular, mm-hmm. Pituitary, and
you have antibodies.
This time I didn't get tested for that, but I have tested for that in the past, and they were all normal.
They fluctuate based on your stress level and based on things that are happening and exposures. So I would certainly recommend that. And what about your vitamin D?
I did test for that this last lab test, and that came back 34.
Yeah. Okay. You need vitamin D.
Okay. Because I am taking, and maybe I'm not taking the right supplement. I am taking Zoller, and I take 10,000 a day.
You're taking 10,000 and you're only at 34. I would be looking at the effectiveness of it. Are you absorbing it? Is it liquid? Is it a capsule?
Liquid. It's liquid. Yeah.
It doesn't look like if you're taking 10,000 and you're at 34, it's either that you were really crashed. How long have you been taking it at that level?
For a long time, like years.
Yeah. So I would look for a new brand.
Okay.
I would look for a new brand, because it doesn't seem like, you should be getting up higher than 34, unless you have a whole lot of SNPs, right? Some genetic markers that are predisposing you to low vitamin D, but you want to get that up. I mean, anytime there's a thyroid issue or any other issues, I would say minimum 50. I like to see it 75 to 100 personally. Okay. That's what I like to see.
Okay.
So I would up your vitamin D, or talk to your naturopath or whoever you're working with about upping your vitamin D. And then what was the other thing you said? The T3 is low and the T4 is okay. So it's
the last test, they were all low. Even my TSH.
They were all low. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So stress can do that. Okay. And, right. And if you were taking a glandular that seemed to work, had you stopped that between the latest test and the test before that?
Yeah, because, she had me take 4 a day and I was losing so much weight. It was overstressing my body, because it was more than just the thyroid. It was like the adrenal gland with it and the pituitary.
Yeah.
And so then I just went off of it. But then my test, then that later test, everything was fine. I was taking a homeopathic parathyroid hypothalamus thyroid blend, and that seemed to help too, up until this last test. And then everything. Yeah.
So, I mean, the vitamin D, I can't really analyze other stuff without knowing your history and looking at labs, but I would say that the vitamin D is critical. Look at your blood sugar. Like, have you had your A1C tested? How's your blood sugar managing? Yeah, if everything was low and they were proportionally low, then you don't necessarily have a conversion issue. But you also have to look at receptors, because the receptors are affected by cortisol levels. They're affected by low vitamin A. Maybe you have an absorption problem with other fat soluble vitamins and not just the D. So you want to look at if your D it's either a bad combination or you are not doing fat absorption very well. Do you have any other signs of fat malabsorption?
Sometimes yellow if I take vitamin A a lot.
You do take vitamin A?
I have in the past, but my one of my friends, she's an iridologist, and she was like, you always look yellow. I'm like, I think it's she thinks it's parasites.
It might it could be that you're not converting.
Yeah.
And you may need free-form vitamin A, not beta carotene. And there's some genetic SNPs there as well. So you might want to get a genetic test and have a look there. Elisa, okay. I saw you kind of, do you have something else you wanted to say to that?
No, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. And the vitamin D issue is a concern. So the looking at the supplement, number one, and then looking at your VDR SNPs.
Right. And looking at your fat absorption in general.
Malabsorption.
Right.
So a lot of the stool tests don't look at fat malabsorption. They do. They have steatocrit, but the best one that lets us know about fat malabsorption is actually the GI effects, which is why I always stay with it. Although some of the newer kids on the block maybe give more information on the microbiome, but it really tells us. And if you look at your, another tell there is if you look at your blood work and your triglycerides are low, that may also be indicative of some amount of fat malabsorption. And you can also measure lipase in your blood. So there are many ways of, you know, trying to figure out if you're malabsorbing fats.
Because if you're taking 10,000 vitamin D for a long period of time, it's either a genetic thing, a fat malabsorption, or just a poor supplement, right? Because you should be, those numbers should be going up.
Okay. I had started taking a parasite cleanse just to see if that would help when it has black walnut in it. And every time I take black walnut, I feel so much better. I didn't know, is it okay?
Parasite, right? There's all that possibility. Whenever you are not absorbing your nutrients as you should, you know, parasite's not an uncommon problem. So if you feel like you're better, I just wouldn't stay on those things indefinitely, but sometimes you have to cycle them. You know, like a parasite cleanse for 2 to 3 months, go off of it. Here's the thing though, that most people miss when they do parasite cleanses, they forget to kill the eggs. So the parasites lay eggs and then you get rid of them and you feel great. And then the eggs hatch and then they come back, right? So I know it's gross thinking about these eggs being laid inside of you, but clove is a really good one. And you can actually make your own clove capsules. And it's really helpful to do that because then you know it's fresh. You buy whole fresh cloves, you grind them up in a coffee grinder and you put them in the little capsules. You get one of those Cap'em Quicks. And there's a protocol of gradually increasing it, ramping it up and ramping it down. And we have that in the grand, in the gut repair program.
Okay. I did your first gut repair program and I loved it.
Oh, good. Well, that protocol where with the cloves really helps a lot. So that's great.
Cool.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sarah. Okay, CJ and Sharon. So CJ, where are you? I saw you there a minute ago.
I am unmuting. There I am. Okay,
all right, quick. There you are.
Hi. Okay, I'm just going to build right on what we were talking about. So what are the signs of fat malabsorption?
Well, first of all, you don't feel good when you eat fatty foods, right? You eat an avocado and you feel nauseous or gross, or, you know, nuts, seeds, coconut, too much of it, too much oil, you don't feel so good. Dry skin, in spite of the fact that you are eating a fair amount of fat, can be a sign that you're not absorbing it and not utilizing it properly. Frequent colds and infections and things like that, because it has such a big role. Inflammation. Back of the arms, like you get like goose bumpy kind of stuff on the back of your arms when that's related to fat, but also the fat soluble vitamins, vitamin A in particular. So that's a good thing for Sarah to look at, back of your arms. And anybody who's concerned about thyroid receptor, like that, you can get it tested, but check the back of your arms to see if you have that. It's not 100% a certain sign, but it is one indication. Anything else? And you won't see a rash, but you'll see like little bumpies on the back of the arm. They call it hyper follicular keratosis.
What about on your feet and your ankles?
Well, I mean, if you see swelling in your feet or ankles, if you see dryness and the peeling of the skin, can often indicate that you're not getting enough, that you're not using your fat properly or not getting enough.
Okay, the only little bumps I have that I can relate to are on my ankles and ankles and tops of my feet, and the dermatologist doesn't really know what they
are. It might be. I mean, knowing that that can happen in other places, it's certainly a possibility. And then what Lisa was saying in terms of getting the GI effects test and seeing what shows up in your stool, the malabsorption signs.
Okay. And where is that GI effects test?
If you go on to, should be, if you go to the lab testing page on our site, you should be able to get it there. And if not, you can go to Direct Labs. Direct Labs has it.
Okay. So it actually, you do actually have to have a blood test, and it's
called. It's not a blood test. It's a stool test. So you have to poop it up and, you know, mix it around and put the chemicals in it and stick it in. I mean, it's not the most appealing thing, but it gives you good information.
The reason that I'm honing in on that fat malabsorption is, I just haven't figured out my body chemistry, but a history of high cholesterol, but super high triglycerides, known metabolic syndrome, known insulin resistance.
A1C? And what's your A1C? We've talked about this
before. A1C has been high until I went on a whole plant food-based diet. And now my A1C is good, but my fasting blood glucose still hovers around 100. My liver enzymes at one time were high. I went off of metformin, so my liver enzymes are normal now. But I noticed that whenever I read something somewhere that if you have little particles of poop that break off from the rest of, you know, your poop, and it said if it clings to the side of the toilet, it could indicate you are passing oil. I mean, it's oily. But I do have little particles quite frequently breaking off, but they don't stick to anything.
Do they float or do they sink? If they're fat,
they sort of float in the middle.
Yeah. So that could be. And then the color of the stool, we get more of a clay colored sandy type stool when you're not absorbing your fat.
Yeah. It's more of a light brown than it is a dark brown or green.
Yeah, so you might have some fat malabsorption going on. Who is your coach in ERC? Who are you working with?
Patty.
Patty, okay.
Yeah.
Make sure that you bring that up with Patty.
Okay.
And have that discussion with her.
Okay, cool. Very good. Also, like the young lady said, I've been supplementing with vitamin D for forever. And I'm now up to, I think 4,000, I don't know, that's not high, 4,000 units a day. But now I have not had K2 in it, but I have something on order that's got the K2 with the D.
Good.
So, but her, okay. And that's what you had told her, good right?
Point. That probably right. Was it's the K2 to make sure your D has K2
right.
To absorb. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll follow up on that. And then,
if you're taking 4,000 a day and you're still low, and you can build up the K, you can add the K, but you also probably need to increase the D.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. 4,000 is kind of a lowish intake for somebody who's dysfunctional.
So could I take, Complement has come out with a new vitamin, at least they say it's new, for vegans, just with the things that vegans end up short on, like the magnesium
and the omegas in there, because that's usually the stuff that
actually it does. Well, yes, you're right. It does, but it has the zinc, the magnesium, the all the things that.
Yeah, well, I would give it a try if that's something. You know, the only way we know if something's going to work for us is to give it a try. Right.
Well, so back to the K2 ratio to the vitamin D. So if I have the K2 and vitamin D in this new vitamin that's coming, can I continue taking what just plain vitamin D along with that?
Right. Add it up and see how much you're getting. The typical, there's such a wide range in D2, D3. D3 K2 supplements in terms of the amount and the ratio between them. What I do notice is that if you need a lot of vitamin D, like you need 10 or 15 or even 20, taking the combined can get you with getting too much K. So typically what I have people do is get the right amount of K in the supplement with the two, and then have a separate D so that you can titrate it up or down.
Oh, that will work out great. Okay, excellent. I shall do that. And then I need to know what that organic acid test is. It sounds like something I might need to pursue.
Yep. If you go to on the website at the top, it says lab testing. That'll take you to our lab testing page. We only make that available to people who are members, and then you'll find it on there.
And it'll tell me what it does for me.
Because you can click add to cart or you can click details and it'll tell you about it. The other way to do it is to do a Google search on organic acid test. We use Great Plains Lab.
Okay, great.
And then you can find out more about it there.
I just wanted to say that, you know, a lot of people think because they're on a plant-based diet we could get a lot of deficiencies. And actually people who are on animal-based diets also have a lot of deficiencies. Oh, yeah. And so for plant-based, the thing to watch or measure is B12, and then to look at the omegas. So those are the things to look at. But people who are also on animal-based diet can have issues there too. And it's just that, you know, so these supplements that are geared towards plant-based people, they make me, mad because...
Well, it makes it implies that it's deficient, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we just have to have a balanced diet. We start with the diet and make sure our diet is balanced, have blood work or other tests to figure out if we have deficiencies, and then we can, or insufficiencies, let's put it like that, or imbalances, and we can address those. But just because we're on a plant-based diet, it does not imply that we have...
No, I've been on a plant-based diet for 35 years. Yeah. You know, I don't find to feel like I have deficiencies of anything. I mean, I haven't done all those tests because I just feel good all the time. So I figure I don't have deficiencies and I'm going to save my money. But the point is that it's right. And there's certain things that are dysfunctional in the body that cause it. And I'm not a big fan, I don't know about you, Lisa, but I'm not a big fan of multivitamins. Because you end up not customizing it to you. You could have too much of one thing and not enough of another. And it doesn't take into account some of your genetic tendencies as well. And we have that coming up in ERC. Hopefully you did your genetics. And I think it's next month. I think it's beginning of February. We have the first one, and the beginning of March is the second one, where we're going to actually go through the genetics with you and help you to tie that together with your nutrient needs and all that. Okay.
Well, when you bring B12 up, my B12 was in the 1600s last test. They were very much high.
Yeah. And we see that a lot in B12 deficiency, in functional B12 deficiency. And everybody goes, what? Yeah. Because you're not converting, you're not getting the right form, you're not getting it into the cells, and it just hangs out in the blood. It's kind of like, think about this, blood sugar, right? If your blood sugar is high, it means that the cells don't have enough sugar because it's sitting in the blood, not doing anything, right? And you may feel wonky. And I see people who have, they say, I have hypoglycemia. And then you test and they have high blood sugar because it's all sitting in the blood, not getting in the cells to make energy. Similar with the B12, it has to be methylated. It has to get into the right pathways. And we see that a lot in functional B12 deficiency. So the organic acid test will test something called MMA, methyl malonic acid, which is a functional test for B12.
Okay, functional test for B12.
Okay, and when we look at your genes, we'll be able to tell what tendencies you have and what things you have to be careful about. Those are some of my favorite calls to do because they're like, it just pulls everything together and we just get this picture that's so beautiful. Yeah.
Okay, tell me about the omegas, because you said the B12 and omegas.
Yeah, omega-3-6, a lot of times with people who are on all plant-based are way too high in omega-6 and not enough 3 because you're drinking almond milk and you're eating sunflower seeds and you just have all of these omega-6s and not enough omega-3s. If you follow our recommendations where you're getting more flax and chia and all, but then if you have nutrient imbalances and can't convert those to your EPA and DHA, then you can get into trouble. So it's really important to make sure that those levels, and there's another test. The simple test is the blood spot fatty acid test. And that is you're in a silver level, so you didn't get any lab, right? You're in silver level, is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. So you didn't have any labs included. You'll have to pay out of pocket for them, but the blood spot fatty acid is included in the gold and gold plus levels, because it gives so much information about your fats and the balance between them, and a lot about the nutrients that you may be deficient in that aren't helping you to convert those, the flax seeds, the chia seeds, the walnuts, and the other omega-3 dietary sources into the EPA DHA. Okay. All of this is in the lab. So anybody's listening going, oh my God, in the nutrition lab, if you go down to the bottom of the page, close to the bottom, and it says balance your nutrients.
Okay.
Okay. And then there's a section on fats. Watch that. Listen to that. It got a lot of good information.
Section on fats. Okay. Yep. And let me tell you, I'm on Vascepa 4 grams a day. Do you know Vascepa, fish oil, the prescription fish oil?
2 grams.
4.
4 grams. That's a lot, right? That's all the reason to also look at that to see if you're going the other direction. You might be going too much omega-3, and then you put yourself at risk for bleeding and hemorrhaging type of things with too thin a blood and not being able to clot.
Okay. And that organic acid test is that what you say will tell me?
No, the blood spot fatty acid, but the other test that I told, I think it was Lenny or Yenny before, was the NutriVal, which is a very expensive test, but it's very comprehensive because it has the fats, it has the organic acid, it has the nutrients, has amino acids. So it's very comprehensive. But again,
what was the name of that again?
It's called NutriVal. NutriEval. I mean, it may not have the I in there. It may be just NutriEval. And that's from Genova Diagnostics.
Okay. I know
there's a lot here, right?
I know. My poor
Patty on your next call and help her. She'll help you to outline the order and you know where to get these things done.
Okay. Just real quick, do you know what the Terry Wells menu plan is?
Well, somebody was just talking about it earlier today. It was Yenny, I think.
Yeah. So you don't know anything about it?
Well, I know a lot about it. It's an autoimmune and it's very high in vegetables and it's got, you know, small amounts or moderate amounts of omega-3 rich foods, you know, wild caught fish and meat. And it's, you know, it's her plan for how she reversed her autoimmune disease.
Okay. All right. That answers. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Sharon, you're up. And then Hedy.
Hi. I have 2 successes to share with you.
Yay.
Our temperature here has dropped quite a bit. We're down to minus 10 overnight. So I walk at 7 in the morning. So it's still pretty cool. So in your numbers, that's 14 degrees.
And you're going out walking? Way to go. You're a better person than I. It was 47 yesterday and I didn't go out.
I'm just wearing hiking shoes because we don't really have any snow on the roads right now. So it's not bad. My other success is I've talked to you before quite a bit about having muscle cramps in my legs and feet at night and just debilitating, you know, you're just on the ceiling. And so now I'm taking the magnesium and I take 900 milligrams throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And I put magnesium gel on my legs and feet at night. And it seems to have it all under control.
Hallelujah. It's just a lot of times it's just getting that right level, right? Like you think, well, I shouldn't need that much magnesium. The RDA is only 350, but for you, I'd be curious to see what your genes look like if you have some genes.
And at that, even still, the bowels are fine. So
yeah, so you really
I'm needing it. Yeah. And I also find that periodically I get a B shot. It's a multiple B vitamins from my naturopath. And that seems to help too. When I find that I'm starting to get a little bit of cramping, then I go to see her and that seems to just be
yay. Because now you can sleep better.
Well, we haven't figured that one out yet.
Okay.
With my sleep, I fall asleep just fine. It's not an issue at all. And then I wake up in the night and that's when my my cortisol starts to spike, you know, that 3-4 a.m.
Yeah.
And so my last appointment with my naturopath, and you actually suggested this as well, she has me on something that's called Cort Align. It's to bring down the cortisol. So she says to take two at bedtime and one each time I wake up in the night. But if I take it each time I wake up in the night, which would be about twice that I would take it, in the morning I'm really drowsy. So I'm just having to work on.
It's working on that process. And then, you know, you could take licorice in the morning to wake you up and bring your cortisol up, but then you're in the, like the kind of pharmaceutical up down approach. And is that got phosphatidylserine in it or magnolia? Do you know what the active ingredient is?
I'm not off the top of my head, and it's in the bathroom, so it's handy at night.
And then if you don't take it the second time you wake up, are you unable to get back to sleep then?
Yes, I'm having some 4 o'clock awakenings. Yeah.
I wonder if there's a way to break it up, like to open up the capsule and put half in one, and maybe you just need a little less at that hour.
Yeah. These are actually tablets. When I ordered them, I didn't realize that they were tablets, because typically I don't order anything that's a tablet.
It's tablets. So that's easier then. You can get a, there's a simple tablet cutters you probably order on Amazon or something that you can cut the tablets in half.
I do have a tablet cutter, but I don't know if it would cut those because they're quite large. So anyway, I'll have to work on that.
Bam! And then you just take pieces of it, right? You can use like, I'm thinking a kitchen mallet, right? Like for food.
And I did actually bite one.
Yeah.
And it broke very easily. So, you know, I feel comfortable that it's breaking down quite well after I swallow them.
Okay, but you might do that to figure out like if there's a magic amount that you take on that second awakening, maybe it's 3/4, maybe it's a half, maybe it's a third, but if you can just smash it and just play with it, you might be able to get help with
that. And it depends on when I wake up. Yeah. So it's just playing around. But on my last call with you, you also suggested something called Adrenocom. And when I was looking into it, I noticed they have one as a, like a cream that you can put on.
Right, exactly.
So that might be something that I would absorb faster and would be more effective.
It's worth trying. Yes. I've had really good results with that. And you might start with trying that on that second awakening. So do the other since it's helping. And then, so you're not so drowsy, and then you can titrate real easily because you just put a pinch of the cream or a little more of the cream. And it's such an experiment, right? We're always having to experiment on ourselves and figure out what the exact right formula is.
Yeah.
Right.
You'd also mentioned about getting pine pollen because my DHEA and testosterone they're not even on the chart. They're so low.
Yeah.
And you gave me the name of a company, but I found this other one called Canadian Pine Pollen.
Oh, good. Right and local. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's a company that's just 400 kilometers away from me. So like for you, 240 miles. But when I had a conversation with them, when I ordered it, they do some harvesting right in our local area, like right in the valley that I live in. And they're near here. So I'm just wondering if, because it's local, is it more effective for me?
You know, I was a big fan of eating locally, right? Because it grows locally, it might be. You know, we say that about tomatoes grown in your backyard are gonna have more nutrients and be better than, so I mean, it's certainly a possibility. I mean, I like the idea of you having something local that you can get. It just makes it easier, especially given the DHEA issues in Canada. Pot is legal, but DHEA isn't.
Yes.
It's crazy, right?
The naturopaths are canvassing on that. However, I have been ordering from the States, my niece sends to me.
Oh, good.
She lives in California, so I have been getting it. But I did a couple of months on that, and it was still, on my last test, it still didn't even register. So we've increased the dosage now. So
and the DHA. Working
on it. Yeah.
You got to be real careful with supplementing hormones, especially DHEA, because if you go too high, it turns off your own production. And then you're in trouble because then you have to stick with that high dose. Because your body can't make it anymore. So I'm usually, when I recommend people check with taking DHEA, I'm usually recommending like super low doses, like two milligrams three times a day versus the 50 milligram capsules that a lot of people have. Because anytime you supplement, our body has this negative feedback loop. It goes, oh, look, that's the same problem people get in with thyroid. You know, you're on thyroid for so many years. It basically, your thyroid starts to atrophy because it doesn't get stimulated anymore because the pituitary is going, plenty of thyroid here. I'm going to save my work for something else. And then you don't stimulate your own thyroid. Same thing with the DHEA. So just like, you know, play with those doses to find what's effective for you.
Okay. My real question that I have for you now is I'm still having problems with gas and it seems to come on more so later in the day. And I thought about doing the elimination diet with the group this month.
Yeah.
I just wasn't in the right headspace to do it.
You have to be in the right headspace.
Yeah. Yeah. I just feel like over the last year, I've done so much work on diet that I just.
Yeah. So you can monitor, like you can look at like, is there something that's different about your lunch? Because you're doing three meals. Are you doing breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Three. Yeah.
And it's coming later in the day, like 4 p.m.
Is that 3 o'clock.
3 p.m. So a few hours after. So I'd look back to see what are you eating at lunch that you're not eating at other meals where you don't get the gas.
Okay.
I got one person turned out. We were suspicious of the cruciferous because she'd make this big pot of cruciferous and she'd blend it up and she goes, it must be that. Well, as we went back through it, she realized she was eating the sugar-free, so delicious chocolate ice cream that's sweetened with erythritol. And when she stopped that, her gas went away. So look for little subtle things like that could be gas forming.
So I might just be okay to just do a food tracking journal.
I would say, yeah. Chronometer is a great way to do it because then you can, you know, really map it out. But even, you know, just do it on paper and really track and see if there's something in there that could be gas forming that you're not having at other times a day. Okay. And maybe it is too much cruciferous. Maybe it is, you know, the blended soup or something. But, you know, without seeing that, I don't know what it could be.
Well, on the presentation that you did on oxalates, I was highly suspicious of that. And especially when you said, okay, when you start the program, you start doing all these blended greens every day and all of that. And of course, and you referenced to spinach. It's so easy and, you know, comes all clean and everything. Yeah. And I went, oh, yeah. So it seems to be somewhat better since I cut the spinach out of my diet.
Ah.
So, and you know, now the other thing to look at is maybe almonds.
Almonds and chia seeds, you know, so some of the things that we get people to eat all of a sudden. So that's a clue now I'm learning. If somebody gets worse when they go to this clean, green, you know, omega-3 rich diet, it's good chance it's oxalates.
Okay. So I've cut out the spinach and you did say to just take out one item at a time.
I would go slowly, right? Because if you do, otherwise you'll oxalate dump and it'll be bad. Yeah.
So I've cut back on the almonds, but I haven't totally cut them out. So that's the other thing. And instead of chia, I'm using more, well, I shouldn't say more. I've always used the hemp seeds and I'm using flax and things like that.
Yeah.
So I'm on the right track then?
I think you're on the right track. Yeah. It's the detective work, right? That's where we're here to play detectives on our own body chemistry. Yeah.
And up to now, you know, stool color has been fine, but just the past couple of days, it's really yellow. So
yellow is often an indication of fat malabsorption. Okay. So keep an eye on that. And sometimes, and those of you who have fat malabsorption issues, getting a good digestive aid that's high in lipase can be helpful. And usually they're balanced. It's like they have lipase, amylase, and protease, and then maybe some other things, but there are some that have higher amounts of lipase. There's one that's called Lipo Gold, and it has a really high, and it's clean. It doesn't have additives and preservatives, and it has a higher amount of the lipase. And I've had people have really good results with that when they have fat malabsorption issues.
How do you spell lipase?
L-I-P-A-S-E.
Okay. So the lipase might be in a digestive enzyme?
Yep. It's a digestive enzyme. So this particular one, I don't know what they have in Canada, but it's called Lipo Gold, L-Y-P-O-G-O-L-D.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So we have Hedy and then Arlie. So Eddie, how are we doing on time? Are we? I think we only have a few more minutes. Let's see.
I show that there's like 9 minutes left.
9 minutes. Okay. Eddie.
Hi.
Hi.
Be real quick with my question because I'm babysitting right now, but I developed blue rings around the iris of my eyes on both of them. And do you know what's causing it? And can I get rid of them?
I don't know. I know that if you were to see somebody who's an iridologist, they may have some ideas of what that means. When you say blue rings, it's like a dark blue ring, a light blue ring. Is it?
It's a dark blue ring and it's a complete circle around the iris. And when I tried researching it, they said fat deposits behind in the eyes. So I really don't want to go with that.
Yeah. Any ideas there, Lisa or Annette?
Yeah, I have, because I can see that you have dark eyes. I was born with really dark, 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 almost black eyes, and they've lightened over the years. And one day an iridologist said, oh, do you know you have blue eyes? And I'm like, excuse me? Yeah, I really have blue eyes. And as I clear the toxicity, the brown is going away. I have blue. If you can really see, you know, if you look at my eyes up close, you can see a blue ring around the outside of my eye.
So it may be that she's clearing toxins and her true eye color is coming through. Do your parents have blue or green eyes?
No, they both have brown eyes.
Maybe.
Well, this will be interesting. So
it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds.
Yes, thank it will be because I'm on my regimen. So I started to feel really well and then I had a setback. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the eye color changes or not. But what's interesting though is both my grandmothers on my parents' side and they were blonde hair, blue eyes. And my grandfathers and both my parents were dark hair, dark eyes.
Interesting.
So, well, I'll let you know.
Keep an eye on that. Thank you.
I will. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Last one is Aura Lee.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Oh, echo.
There's feedback. I'm having all kinds of technical problems on Zoom. I have two questions.
I can't hear you. You're completely echoing. Do you have a speaker on that you can turn off? Can't hear you at all now. Nope, you're gone. You're unmuted, but I'm not hearing you. Nobody's hearing you.
I can't hear you on the computer that's allowing you to hear me.
Yeah, so you may have, I don't know what's going on, but it's not going to work because we can't hear your words. You're just like, it's going to drive us all nuts by hearing all that echoing and the reverberation. So I don't know what it is. I think you may have to wait till the next call and call in on a phone line because we only have a couple more minutes and we don't have time for
you. I'll put it in the chat.
Put it in the chat. Good idea. All right, I'll watch for it. Let me see if anybody else. Ronnie said Annette is a superstar. Yay, way to go. Okay, so we got Sarah. She was having trouble. Jenny, yay, Sarah. I love how you support each other. I love it. The Elixirs and Teas ebook is on the section towards the top of the nutrition lab, and it says like resources or something like that. Set up your kitchen for success, something like that. Let's see.
Dr. Rita Marie, it shows.
Yes.
When you're talking about thyroid conversion, you mentioned a supplement, a thyroid support.
Oh, restorative formulations. Restorative formulations. I think it's at restorative.com. When you go there, you need to set up an account. Now, do they ship to Canada? I don't know. I think they do ship worldwide, but you set up an account and they'll ask you for my number and I'll put it in the chat. They'll want my number because they only will sell to people who have been referred through a licensed doctor. Okay, that's it. 5123499. Yep, that's my number. So you'll set up an account. They'll say, who's your doctor that referred you? You put that code in, and then they'll let you set up an account and order stuff. Right? They're very excellent stuff. It's all herbal and everything's organic, including the capsules. I mean, they're so, so pure. It's pretty good.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm not seeing your question, Aralee. I'm not seeing it in the chat. Let's see. Yeah, and Lynn said the same thing about the rings.
Yeah, Arlie's question is there at the end.
Okay, there you go. You've mentioned many powders. Is there a place where I can find a list of where you get them from? Yeah, there's a resource guide in, I know for sure it's in the Sweet Spot program, but I think it's at the bottom of the page on the Empowered page as well, that talks about all my resources. And then on the Vibrant, what used to be the Vital page, there's a book called Vital Healing Kitchen. And it's a little booklet that has a lot of those resources in it. All right. We good? It's time to go. So thank you guys so much for being here. I love all your questions. I love your participation. We have a lot of people that just stayed all the way to the end, which is awesome. We have another the elimination diet called tomorrow at 1:00. I'll be there and answer your questions and see where you're at and just help you and support you through that process. So thank you guys so very much. Much love to all of you and have a great day. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye.